Okay, well, we're on our last purpose today. We've talked about the five purposes that God has created us and redeemed us for. The first one is, the test from last week was worship. The second one was God's family, did I sit here? Then the third one was becoming like Christ. And last week's was serving. I was worried you didn't do your homework there for a minute. Okay, and so today we're talking about mission, but even though these are split up into five purposes, I mean, there really is one purpose, isn't it? And that's to follow Jesus. And if you're following Jesus, we're doing all of those things. That's how it works. When we follow Jesus, we become children of God, we automatically become part of a member of God's family. We automatically begin to find out more about Jesus, and as we find out more about him and as we look towards him, we find we're becoming more like him. And then part of his main purpose was to serve. We find ourselves serving, because that's what it is to be a follower of Jesus, and also to share our faith, to help others find Jesus as well. So that's our theme for today. And we live in a troubled world. This was on our screens. Now we've got floods on our screens, but just only a few days ago we had a lot of footage of a big protest outside of Parliament. And this is Brittany Higgins, who has come into the limelight over a rape allegation from 2 years ago. But before her, there was Gracie Thames from Tasmania, who won the Australian of the Year. And our Attorney General also has a shadow over him. And it's like as if it's snowballed into an outcry about the treatment of women. It's like there's a giant wound that's been hidden for a long, long time, and it's now coming out through the media. And however uncomfortable we may feel about it, we have to recognise the pain that is there by many women who have been indecently treated over many, many years. In fact, the world statistic is 1 in 3 women globally have experienced some kind of sexual assault. And so the church is not immune. Steve Bartlett wrote this week about this particular issue, drawing our attention to it. The church is not immune. There has been unacceptable things happen in the church, and that's what that Royal Commission was about. And so we have tightening safe church processes. And even this coming Saturday morning, we're having a breakfast to work on our safe church processes so that children are protected. But it's not just children, it's everybody in the church are protected. And this is big now. There's a lot of work. I mean, some churches have to hire special administrators just to do it all. But the church is responding, but we also in our denomination run workshops on domestic violence so that we kind of can be aware of what it looks like and what to look out for, because we don't want to tolerate this kind of stuff, definitely not in the church. So that's big things we're working through at the moment. But it's also a symptom of a bigger problem, the heart of the problem. And that's what I want to focus on today. During a lot of the reportage and that of this over the last couple of weeks, I heard somebody say, the system is broken. The system is broken. It's not protecting people properly. And obviously, there's a lot of truth in it. Well, I'm not really comfortable with the word broken, because it's sort of like hopeless. Where do we go from here if everything's broken? There's a lot of improvements that need to be made. But what I would say is there's a deeper truth, and the truth is we are broken. We're all broken. We are a broken humanity. Human nature is flawed. There's something wrong with us in every human being. We are not as we should be. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says that like sheep, we have turned to our own way and we are doing our own thing and what seems right in our own eyes. And so what is right in one person's eyes is damaging to another person. That's the thing. When one person is getting what they want, it's often damaging another person. That's why it's so important that we turn to the Lord, because he removes that selfishness from us and we become God-focused rather than self-focused. And that's why Jesus came into the world, to restore us back to God. He said, when he was raised from the dead, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The reason Jesus came was to rescue us. There's a lot of rescuing going on at the moment. People out of floodwaters because they can't help themselves. They have to have the SES come in and do it. And that's the problem. That's the thing with us as broken humanity, is we have to have an outside source rescue us. And that's why Jesus came to this world, to be our rescuer, to do that which we cannot do for ourselves. And I've been alive now for over 5 decades, probably a bit more, 6 decades, getting close to 7 decades. But like I can tell you, through my whole lifetime, there's been, you know, we've got to get a solution to this, we've got to find a solution to that. And, you know, whether it's war or whether it's domestic violence or whether it's poverty, it's always, we've got to get on top of this, we've got to make this, never again. And there's been improvements here and there, of course, but it's never really we've never been able to truly get on top of these problems, because they're spiritual problems. They're own problems only God can heal. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, in this statement, he's virtually saying, "I'm passing the baton on to you. You are now my hands, my feet. You are now me on this earth." And so we are the sent ones. We have been sent by God to this needy world, because God wants people to turn to him. He doesn't want people to suffer. And so we're going to talk this morning about how God, how we do this. And the first one is the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 5, when Jesus spoke with the disciples after his resurrection, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As John dipped people under water, then Jesus is going to dip us under the Holy Spirit. We'll have the Holy Spirit. We'll be submerged in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit will guide our life from that point in. Last year, I got a leaf blower for my birthday. I used to sweep the leaves in the backyard. To do that, I had to move the tables and chairs out under the shelter and stack them up, sweep under the table, then put them all back again. I had to move the barbecue and sweep under it and move it again. There was a bench seat there. I had to move that out of the way and sweep under that and move it back again. When I got the leaf blower, just got a battery on it, that's all, I just point it to the leaves and they just all blow away. And I can go to the table and under the barbecue and I just blow, and the leaves just blow out from under. I don't have to move anything. Like, it's like cut the work time and the energy down to just a few minutes, whereas it would have taken me an hour. And that's the difference between the blower and the sweeper, the broom. And this is the difference between the Holy Spirit and just you and me, is that he empowers us to live the Christian life and to be able to witness to our faith. And so Jesus went on to say, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Not before, although they had been followed Jesus and they had done some things, but it was limited. This was going to be an empowerment of all believers to be witnesses for Jesus. In a courtroom, a witness is someone who tells what they have seen and experienced. Holy Spirit empowers us to speak what we have seen and experienced of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit fell on the believers on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound of a mighty wind, there were tongues that came over people, tongues of fire, and they praised God in different languages. These were earthly languages that they hadn't learned. And visitors in Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival from other countries could understand what they were saying. It wasn't coming from these believers. It was coming from the power of the Holy Spirit in them. But it was a sign that the Holy Spirit was moving his people out into their little cocooned place of Jerusalem, and they were going to go out into the whole world. And every person in the world was going to hear this message. And that's the mission you and I have been called to. So that means that it has to be God's kingdom first. I don't know about you, but I don't have to make any effort to look at after my own interests. If we're planning for a holiday, I get excited about it. It doesn't take any special effort. It happens automatically. If I need something, I just go and get it. If it's something to do with my family, it's just natural. Just enjoy it. But the kingdom of God is something that it requires me to make a choice and an effort and be intentional about. Because all these other things in my life can easily come in because they're so easy to do, and I become distracted with those, and the things of the kingdom get left behind. And so I have to be intentional about that. We've heard for the last 5 years that of that phrase, make America great again. Do we remember that, the last 5 years? We're here to make America great again. Well, it's not the first time that's been said, because the disciples were wanting to make Israel great again. They asked him, when Jesus had risen, gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you going to make us great again, like it used to be with King David and King Solomon when it was like a superpower? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. This wasn't anything to do with them. They went to, this was God's, in God's domain. But you can see their vision the whole time was be to make Israel great again. They wanted their country. They were nationalists. They wanted their country to rule the world. And as Tim Costello said recently in Eternity magazine, God's kingdom doesn't have political boundaries. It doesn't have national boundaries. It is not limited to certain ethnic groups. God's kingdom is for everybody. And so they had to forego their idea of their own little kingdom and begin to focus on God's kingdom. And so that's what you and I have the challenge of doing, is we have things in our life that we want to give attention to, but God is saying, look, you focus on my kingdom and I'll take care of your needs. Paul the Apostle said in Acts 20, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And that little clip Daphne showed us of Paul's beginnings as a follower of Jesus, and he went right through and he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. what Jesus wants that matters. And that's key to us fulfilling our work in this world. And we do it by sharing in our own world, and this got a moving into the areas that we share in from Acts 1:8. Our immediate circle of influence. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where they were geographically at that time. They were had gathered in Jerusalem. Jesus had died, rose again, and they'd been there through this time. And so they were to begin where they were. And so the call for you and me is to begin where we are with who we know. That's our starting point, our family, our friends. And as Daphne said very accurately before, it's not about leaving notes on pillowcases in your family. And you know, some people become a Christian and then they want their other members of their family. So, you know, they become harassers. You know, they harass. I used to do this. I used to harass my family about this. But being a witness of Jesus means you've got to earn the right to share your faith. And so it's in the first instance being a servant, being a caring for others, showing that you love them. As the old saying goes, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And so that's the beginning point, is to be servants and to care for those in our midst. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reasons for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. When I was firstly a Christian, I used to memorise verses and I used to corner people and lay it on them. And I'd have to say they were very gracious. But I would really also have to say it really didn't do much good, because at that point that wasn't where they were. The first thing we need to do is listen to people. Dennis Pethers, who been to Australia talking about evangelism, describes evangelism as helping people to take one step towards Jesus. Not necessarily that we have to pull them over the line. It's helping people take one step towards Jesus. And he said we have two ears and one mouth. And he makes the point that evangelism is more about listening than it actually is about talking. To hear where they're at, to hear what their views are, to value what they already think, not to discount what they think and say, no, this is the truth, you've got to know this, but to be listening and to hear and to understand. And then they are appreciative that they're understood. They're not just dismissed, which is so easy to do when we can be passionate about what we believe. And so we simply live our lives in front of those who are closest to us, and we choose to listen, choose to serve, and allow God to do the things. I have a sister, one of my four sisters, who we tend to stay on holidays with nowadays, and for years she's noticed my habits of having quiet time before breakfast. And so, and we've also had conversations about spiritual things. And a few years ago, she built a new house on top of a hill overlooking the bay. It's a coastal town. And she said she had a nice spot for me for where I can go and have my quiet time, out on the front overlooking the water. Well, I've never ended up using it because it's too public. I don't want my sister or anybody else watching me when I'm in prayer. But the good thing is, though, that she started reading Christian books, and for 18 months now she's been going to church. And that's been lovely. But it's basically, just being, going, staying there, living our lives in front of her and so forth. And she only sent a text yesterday asking, what version of the Bible do you use? So there's questions. But Yeah, it's these are the people that we're most responsible to. We are family to people. We are friends with people. But if we belong to Jesus, he has sent us among them to speak of him. Speak of him. But it doesn't stop there. We dare to go beyond our own world. And so they would go to Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. Judea was the region in which Jerusalem was placed, but then beyond Judea is the land of Samaria. And Samaria is a little bit different. It has similar but different beliefs to the Jews, and there's a bit of hostility. So it's not like the comfort of your own family and friends. It's moving out of your comfort zone from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And in fact, one time when the Samaritans wouldn't let Jesus stay in a village, James and John said, "Do you want us to call down thunder on them and blow the village up?" No, Jesus said, we're not into that sort of thing. That's kind of like the relationships that were there between the Samaritans and the Jews. But that's moving into more unfamiliar territory, more where the language can be a bit different, more where the culture's different. And so we find ourselves a little bit more vulnerable in those situations. But it is about intentionality. I like what Jim Cimbala says when he says, God is attracted to weakness. So when we're moving out of our comfort zones and being vulnerable, that is what God likes. When we're most comfortable, it's probably we're doing the least for the Lord, but when we move out of our comfort zone, he begins to work through us. Paul said, Apostle Paul, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." So the Apostle Paul went into different cultures and adapted himself to those cultures so that he says, by all possible means, I might save some. So it's a wonderful thing. I mean, he didn't know how he'd go. One of my favourite passages in the book of Acts is Acts 17, where he goes to Athens and he sees all the statues of the gods and so forth, and he found the statue of an unknown god, dedicated to an unknown god, and he discussed faith in the marketplace. And when they called him to the Areopagus, where they did all the talking, in these days, because we have quite a Greek culture here, we do our talk shows on TV, the morning show, radio. We like the old Greeks. We talk about every idea that comes through. And when he went to talk to the people in the Areopagus, the big thinkers, the philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics, who were philosophers, he addressed the unknown God. He says, "I've come to talk to you about the unknown God," because that was in their particular pantheon of gods. He adapted himself to their world. And so that's our calling too, is not just to remain in our own comfort zone, but to be out, stepping out beyond what's familiar to us. Well, in Maryland, we've got heaps and heaps of opportunities to do that in our culture in this part of the world. And so God is inviting us and encouraging us to step out of our world and into the world of others. We've got to be careful of that, the bubble that we can easily find ourselves in, where we're just really relating to people that are most like us. And so, and when people from other cultures come, they do it too. They'll often be just operating in their bubble of whatever culture or land they come from, because that's their language, that's what they're familiar with. And fair enough, I would be doing the same if I was in another country. But for us, God says, no, you've got to get out of your bubble. They might be in their bubble, but you've got to be prepared to get out of yours. And finally, caring for the whole world. Caring for the whole world to the ends of the earth. Well, guess what? Back in those days, the ends of the earth is actually Australia, isn't it? South America, Africa, you know, all over the world. We are it. And the gospel is here, and we are here meeting in this building because somebody, sometime, went to the ends of the earth and shared that message, and that gravitated through to us down to this day. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Sam and Vim have moved to Macquarie Park, and I think they're with us today somewhere. And they said they've been to their new church at Macquarie Park Baptist, which meets at Morling College, and they've been there now probably 3 weeks. They're getting picked up. And Sam's given his book to the pastor, I believe, and Sam's book is about how the American missionaries came over to Sri Lanka 200 years ago. And Sam and Vim have been with us and are belong to God today because those American missionaries went to Sri Lanka, and Sam's great-great-grandfather could even be great-great-great-grandfather got converted, baptised, changed his name to Arnold, and was no longer a Hindu but now a Christian, and that's because somebody went to the far side of the world. When I was over in China one time, my brother introduced me to the woman that's taken over the church that he planted there, and she mentioned about the Lisu people, who are a minority group on the border of Thailand and China, right down in the southern part. And it was a man called J.O. Fraser that went there 100 years ago and worked amongst those people. There were other people as well. But there were 90,000 believers as a result of his ministry. And in the Chinese constitution or whatever it is, Christianity is now the major religion of the Lisu people, because this man went there 100 years ago and witnessed for Jesus. I've got a brother and a son in that part of the world just doing the same thing, because God's called us to care about those in other parts of the world. And we as a church do that as well. And I'm just going to finish by going through some of the things that we're doing. Well, we had the Crossover Australia promotion there just earlier, and that's for helping assist in church planting and reaching people in our own world. We talked last week about Ben Charity and Shia Jashub, their son. Great Hebrew name. I just forget what that means now. But we can look it up in the Old Testament. But they're in Mozambique, and we're going to provide a scholarship to him to help lecture at the college and finish his course. And also there's others there at the college we're going to help too in this May appeal that we're having in 2 months' time. And also there's Gary and Shirley Moore. We're going to give something to them because they hopefully will be going over there in August or later this year when the borders open to teach at their college. And we want to support them because they are equipping the locals to reach the locals. And that's a great way to invest our money. There's also Jono and Heather, who are in Perth at the moment on furlough, and they will be with us towards the end of the year. And we've been supporting them for how many years, Jane? That long, 25. And they've given their life to be over there in Mozambique. But what a privilege it is to be able to help them in their ministry over there. And there's Beatrix in Southeast Asia. But first of all, Moba Project. And that's Joseph. They're doing probably before COVID, was it, Jan? They're going through the Book of Isaiah for the people in Togo, the Moba people. And this is a literacy class for women. The ministry includes literacy classes. So they're actually learning how to read and write in their own language over there. And because they were illiterate, they couldn't even read and write. And so they're not only learning to read and write, but they're getting jobs and they're learning the Bible and they're sharing their faith. And it's a great work over there. I just read yesterday about a woman who was in prison. And she found out about Jesus through this ministry in prison. And now she's out of prison teaching other people about the Lord. What an incredible work that is. We give a little bit each year, but we sent over a gift for the New Testaments last year, didn't we? What a great thing. This is how we're caring for our world, because we can't go there ourselves, but there's others that can go there, and that's Beatrix in Southeast Asia, and then there's Baptist World Aid. We do every Christmas, $2,000 or something, and Operation Christmas Child also with Julie. It's good to hear that we saw Julie the other day. She's recovering well. But these are all different ways that we're caring for people around the world. And I did add it up, the figures, and I think something like, we send over something like 40,000 a year out of this church to missions in Australia, but mostly overseas. It's like 25% of everything that comes into this church goes out. That's a very good figure. And so that's... we ought to be reminded of that. We ought to be embracing all of these things when they come up, the opportunity comes up, because that's our opportunity to care for the rest of the world, because we can't go there, but others, God calls others to go there, and then we can support them. So next week we'll have a concluding message about the purpose, living a life of purpose, but this is the purpose for which God's called us, to live not for ourselves, but to live for others in our own environment, beyond ourselves and all around the world. That's our calling. In the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren told the story of how his father died. They were in hospital and he was a bit delirious. He was on medication, and he'd been a pastor in all many parts of the in America. But he'd planted, he'd taken teams over and built church buildings in other parts of the world, about 150. And so he was sick in hospital on his last days, and before he died, he kept repeating something, and they couldn't quite understand what it was, but he kept repeating it, and so they got closer to him to hear what he was saying. And he was saying, reach one more for Jesus. Reach one more for Jesus. So we're going to finish the message today with a song that was written about that and about that theme. Thank you. Then I'll come up and pray.